Hey friends, you're tuning into Wisdom and Wellness with Wit, a podcast for your emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual well-being, a space to learn and grow, to be encouraged and maybe even challenged just a little bit. Let's journey together and explore what it means to experience the wholeness God has for each of our lives. What's up, everybody? Welcome to season 2, episode 1 of this podcast. I'm so excited. I have to say thank you so much. I have just been overwhelmed by the amount of support and love, but also just from people I don't even know leaving comments about how impactful these topics have been, the conversations with guests have been. Like, that is my whole heart behind this. Everybody has a podcast out, right? Everybody has a sermon. And I mean, we are just constantly being bombarded with content. And so I do not want to be just another one putting stuff out. I really want things to land and be relevant to just topics and things that we are all going through in life right now. So honestly, from the bottom of my heart, it really, really, really means so much on a shallow level. I also am honored. Some people hit me up and they said, you know what? I love your podcast because your voice is really soothing. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because the first couple episodes that I did, just ones by myself, I'm not even exaggerating. I think some of them I re-recorded like 15 to 20 times because I could not get over the sound of my voice. And I am a professional singer. I record all the time. But for some reason, listening to my voice, it was just really stressing me out. And so I was like, wait, we either just got to throw in the towel now or just let it be and move on, because that's all this is recording into a microphone. So some of y'all might not like my voice, and that's totally fine too. And you don't have to share that with me. You can keep that to yourself. But it does mean a lot. Today's episode, I wanted to start off season 2 with a subject that I think is pretty popular right now and for a good reason, and that is our thoughts and our thought life. And this topic is such a biblical one. As many of us know, the Bible says to take every thought captive. You know, growing up and still very much to this day, I have had a very intense internal world where I can have a lot of thoughts and feelings going on inside, but can seem relaxed and normal and even pretty present to what is going on around me. I have always been very observant, and then I can get caught up in my mind that I sometimes withdraw from real life. I remember junior high, high school, I mean, I would daydream all throughout my classes. I don't know what any of the topics were that I learned in high school. I was not a good student. College, I wasn't a good student. Grad school is when it kicked in, because I was like, we are now paying out of our own pocket. We actually need to learn. But I digress. On days where I would feel rough from either chronic pain, and I still can struggle with this today, I could get lost in this dream world about the life that I wished I had, or I would do this super fast dumpster dive into how much I hated my life. And I've been in therapy for almost 2 years now, on and off. I'm currently taking a break, and this is just for me. I feel like sometimes I can input so much, and then I'm not putting anything into practice. So right now, I'm living out a lot of the concepts and lessons I've been taught. And then when I feel like it's time to go back into it, I'm gonna go back into it. But again, that is just my own personal opinion. Some of us need to be in it for a long time. Whatever you feel is right for you, I fully support. But I was working with this thought work coach, and she really opened my eyes to this idea of examining and challenging the thoughts that we have. I think oftentimes we have believed that what we think is actually fact, which is not true. But it's all the information we have to go on usually. And so if I think it, it must be true. I still have some tough days and I have some really great days. And I just think that's a part of being human, right? Balance. We are in times where we are always talking about and hearing about depression and anxiety, and for good reason. I think there's a lot we can learn in this conversation about how to support ourselves from so many angles, right? Nutritionally, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, therapy. Like, there's so many angles we can approach this topic. And I think we're now becoming open to talking about it from different aspects, but for a while, it just seemed like there was one road you went down if you struggle with anxiety and depression. And it felt like a very shameful and a very myopic, this is all you can do. You'll never function great, but here's one thing. So a few months ago, I woke up one morning. I was really tired and I felt so unmotivated to get up. On average, I think I get up around like between 6 and 7. And this one morning, it was like 9:30. And I laid there thinking, I have no reason to get up today. I don't want to do anything. I laid there a bit longer and, you know, I started the really good, healthy IG scroll. And I thought, wow, my life sucks. I am not as pretty as her. I don't have a hot husband like her. Wow, they have such amazing friends. I wish I had that. How did my life come to suck so much? Like, why am I still trying? Everything I do fails. Everything I do sucks. Nothing is worth trying. God, why am I getting the short end of the stick, right? Like, that whole thing. And if you can imagine, that day ended up pretty much being me staying in bed in my deep, dark hole, wondering how the heck my life turned to crap. And you see, the funny thing is, the week before, I was really busy. I had some great opportunities. I'd gotten this really powerful prophetic word from someone that was so uplifting. And I think a few things happen when we start to have some of these spirals. I 100% believe that the enemy will try to mess with our minds and our emotions. He knows that if we get so paralyzed in our internal world that we will not be effective in living the kind of life that God has for us, including one that is full of hope and joy. And so maybe for you, you simply need to take some time and break off some beliefs that the enemy has tried to attach to you. That's so important and so powerful. Last season, we talked about the importance of repentance. Maybe there are some things that we simply need to turn from and let God be the one that handles them for us. Also, I don't want to give the enemy credit where he's not due. We also want to take a look at our brain, because it is this immensely powerful organ that God has given us. You know, according to neuroscientists, with all the research and study done and all the technology and everything we're learning about neuroscience and cognitive health, we still only understand 2% of the brain. That's amazing and also terrifying and crazy. I don't know. That's just wow. Because we know a lot, but we still don't know really much. I think God has wired us so phenomenally. We constantly have these conscious and subconscious thoughts running through our minds. And did you know that we can actually help train our brain, take our thoughts captive, to think certain thoughts? You know, many of us have existed listening to all the thoughts, myself included, that go on in our minds. And if we haven't known any better, we're always going to believe them. But today I am here to tell you and to remind me that we don't have to believe the thoughts that go on in our head, especially the unhelpful and unhealthy ones. We have the ability, we have the authority. God has given us the authority. We have the mind of Christ. We can take every thought captive and believe the kinds of thoughts that God believes about us and speaks over us. The kind of thoughts that are helpful and nourishing and compassionate to ourselves. It is life-changing, let me tell you. So I want to have a quick, not so quick, science lesson that will really help you see this play out. Disclaimer, this podcast episode is for educational and informational purposes only. This is not medical advice. I am not a medical doctor, psychiatrist, or therapist, nor am I trying to be. The information presented is not intended to be a substitute for health and medical care that can be provided by your own physician, medical doctor, or mental health provider, nor is it intended to be used to diagnose or treat any condition. Always seek medical counsel relating to your specific health needs with any questions or concerns you may have, especially before starting any treatment plan, fitness regimen, adding supplements, changing or quitting medication, or making any lifestyle, mental health, or dietary changes. Any suggestion or recommendation mentioned on this podcast is to be taken at your own risk. All right, so we have these grooves in our brain, and they are called neural pathways, which are simply a series of connected neurons that are responsible for sending signals from one part of our brain to another. So you can think of them as a pattern representing any thought you've ever had. So every thought is a neural pathway, okay? When you think of something for the first time, the connections form a pattern in your brain. Think about like if you meet someone for the first time and you guys shake hands. That's the connection being formed. That's the pattern being formed in your brain. And so now your brain is going to attach meaning to that specific pattern. The next time you think of that same thought, the same pattern lights up again, which becomes the same neural pathway. So neural pathways are how our brains store and remember our thoughts. So when your brain processes a new thought, it starts off as a lesser pathway. So for example, when you think about as babies, right, we're learning how to walk for the first time. And it takes a lot of time to do it without falling. But then the more you do it over and over and over again in the same way, the stronger and more dominant not only your body, but your neural pathway becomes. And now today as an adult, you don't have the thought about learning how to walk, about knowing how to walk, right? It's a well-formed dominant neural pathway in your brain. And it works the exact same way with every thought that we have. So the thoughts that we have over and over and over and over and over again become our dominant thoughts, our dominant neural pathways. The new ones that we don't practice often will get deleted by glial cells after about 48 hours. So I want you to catch that. The pathways actually become dominant to where you don't even have to intentionally think the thought anymore. It just happens. Not it just happens. We learned why it happens. But it happens without you trying. New thoughts have to be practiced to even remain in existence. They have to be practiced. Crazy. So some examples of thoughts you probably don't even think about. Eating. Again, there's a physiological response that's happening in our bodies. But when you think about the thought of eating, as adults, we'll probably take into account when we want to eat, maybe what we want to eat. But we never have to put on our to-do list or our mental note, eat today, right? That's been a trained thought since the day you were born. Now, another thought you may have had your whole life is life is hard. Maybe it's not even a conscious thought you're aware of, but you exist in this state of life always assumes difficulty. Maybe you have always thought I'm ugly. And while it's not the first thing you notice about yourself every second of every day, much of the way you exist is predicated on that one thought. I want you to take just a couple minutes if you're driving or wherever, and even if you need to just pause this and figure out what will work best for you to begin to simply observe the thoughts that you naturally have. Many of us aren't even fully aware of the thoughts we're choosing to believe. So a powerful tool is learning to see what we actually believe. My thought work coach always said, awareness precedes change. So we have to be aware before we can do anything else. I now have, you know, different phone reminders that say, what are you thinking right now? Or I'll sometimes set my alarm that says, write down thoughts, and I'll write down whatever comes to mind. We all know the saying, knowledge is power, right? Awareness precedes change. So we can't learn to change the thoughts until we know what the thoughts are. Now, I want to share a couple thoughts that probably most of us have in common. Maybe on the daily, you think things such as, I'm not where I wanted to be in life. Everything is hard. I don't like my body. If I say what I really think, people won't like me. I can't handle this. If I had XYZ, my life would be better. Do any of these sound familiar to you? If so, please do not beat yourself up. According to the Cleveland Clinic, the average person has about 12,000 to 60,000 thoughts per day, and about 80% of them are negative, and 95% are repetitive thoughts. Okay, so good news though, the fact that thoughts can become dominant means that we can actually practice thinking new thoughts and form newer and stronger neural pathways to where more desirable thoughts will become second nature eventually. Imagine waking up and just automatically thinking, wow, I am so blessed to be alive and live another day. I love myself. I believe in myself. I can do hard things. I'm worth investing in myself. God, thank you so much for this life that you've given me. That would create a remarkable difference in our life. Remarkable. And so, I want to introduce to you something I have learned called the Thought Ladder Principle. And this is a way, a practical way, that we can start to teach ourselves to practice better thoughts. If you're like me, you want to write down all these good thoughts and then just tell yourself, this is what I'm about to think from now on. But just like a six-pack doesn't come from one day of crunches, I have tried and can attest that it does not, these desirable thoughts will not just appear after one day of thinking them, or even just being like, I am just committed, I'm a positive thinker, I think the best all the time. Great idea, but without a practical tool where we can be consistent and disciplined, it may not happen. So a thought ladder allows us to switch from a negative thought to a positive thought in a way that helps our brain believe it, okay? That's the important part, is we have to believe these thoughts that we're thinking. I've tried, you know, that whole thing where you stand in front of the mirror and you tell parts of your body that you love them, but the whole time I was doing it, I didn't believe myself, right? I just, wow, stretch mark, I love you so much. I'm so thankful for you. No, I'm not. I don't love you. If I had the money for a laser, I'd, you know, whatever. You see what I'm saying? So think of a ladder. Think of the bottom of the ladder as a current thought that you have, such as, I don't like my body. The top of the ladder would represent the most desired thought you could think about yourself. Like, I'm the most gorgeous woman in the world, right? Just whatever you would want to think, the most desirable thought goes at the top. Now, the middle of the ladder would be considered a neutral thought, that if you say it, you can believe it, and it feels better than your original thought. And now the important thing about this is when you say this neutral thought, you don't have any negative sensations in your body. That is key. Or there's nothing that riles up in you that doesn't believe what you are currently saying. So one thought that I've used for myself, I am on that beautiful journey of learning how to love my body, is that my body serves a good purpose. Or I've even used, others would kill to have my body. And regardless of how that sounds to you, those are two thoughts that I can actually believe. And I currently can believe more of those thoughts than I'm just the most beautiful girl in the world, right? And I'm not saying this for you to be like, oh my gosh, let me tell her she's beautiful. Nothing like that. I'm just telling you my process because I know you probably have a similar process in either the same topic or a different one, okay? So this tool has actually been really helpful for me when it does come to this area of body image. And I've shared before, you know, my lifelong journey with fitness and my body and just all, you know, self-consciousness and just what I think of myself. And so it is something that we all go on. And so a neutral thought, what is that, you ask? These neutral thoughts can help our brain disengage from the negative thought. Once we learn to believe the neutral thought, then our brain will have an easier time helping us believe the positive thought. Okay, so I want to walk us through this again so you can place your own thoughts on this ladder. And I will give some examples, but again, use what you will believe and what will work for you. Please, this is not for my benefit. This is for those of us who want to learn how to practice having better thoughts. And I find it helpful to write it down. You can write it on your phone. You can put it on a sticky note, wherever you're going to look at it. Okay. So draw two vertical lines on a piece of paper and five horizontal lines to create your ladder. Write down one of the thoughts you have noticed occur often and place it in the bottom of your line. And then ask yourself, how do I want to feel? What could be my best case scenario thought? And you don't have to show anybody this. So something that I for sure struggled with when I was doing this was like, oh my gosh, these you know, top line thoughts feel really arrogant. Whatever. Like, who cares? No one's going to look at it. So write what would be your best case scenario. If you could believe this about yourself today, what would it be? And write it down. Then take some time to think of some of these neutral thoughts. What you want to do is write a few things down, like I said, and just see how they feel. Say them out loud. Is there a great response in your body? Does it still feel negative? So like for me, when I say, you know, negative things, I can feel my stomach. You know, I can feel my throat tighten up. There's just, you really can feel it in your body. Our bodies don't lie to us, right? So just say some of them out loud. Make sure it's believable to you and it's something that's easy to say. And you can create a ladder for all the different thoughts that you have. My thought work coach suggests working on a maximum of 6 at a time. I tend to focus on like 2 to 3 at a time because you really do want to be consistent and looking at these ladders multiple times a day. Once you believe that neutral thought, then you can start practicing the positive thought. And if it still doesn't feel good or believable, come up with a slightly, you know, more than neutral, a little bit more positive, semi, you know, positive thought. There's no set time, right? Like there's no way to do this perfectly or not perfectly. You just have to do it. We just have to be consistent with it. Give yourself tons of compassion and grace as you learn something new. The only way that you don't do it right is that you just don't do it. Okay? Start small because we want this to be daily, even hourly. If you can set your alarm on your phone, you know, if you can put these on sticky notes and just put them in places where you can see them. I have some on my bathroom mirror. You know, we are not victims to our thoughts. We are actually capable of creating the ones we want to have. Again, God has given us the authority. We have the mind of Christ, and we are able to take these negative thoughts captive and transform our minds to see ourselves the way that God sees us. And the cool part is that once we change our thoughts, our behaviors and actions will automatically start to change as well. It's pretty awesome to see in yourself. I've been working on these for, probably about 2 years. 2 years, yeah. And I'm just noticing in myself the willingness to try harder things, to try things even though I assume people will think weirdly or differently of me, like just to do things because I believe I'm capable of it. It has been so empowering and something that has been really impactful for me. And so that's why I wanted to talk about it. So let me know what you think of this tool. If you try it, I would love to hear how it goes. I would also love to hear some other ways you've learned how to help your thought life. Please let me know in the comments. And thank you so much for listening in on episode 1 of season 2. I'll see you guys next week.
Like what you hear so far? Click the subscribe button and give me a rating and review. And let's keep this conversation going. You can find me on social media at Whitney Wood Music. You can find any of my latest singles out anywhere that you stream or purchase music under Whitney Wood. As well as my latest passion project. It's a kids EP called BB and Bubba. I'll have the links below so you can find them. Have a great week, everybody.